So I was walking down the street, and as I passed this woman from behind, I realized that I knew that the woman was Asian.
Okay.
But I didn't see her face. And I guess the only skin I could see was her hands. So I tried to figure out why is it that I can tell that people are Asian from behind?
Yeah, that's did you, so you had to do a turnaround and look at her from the,
Well,
over
just
your
not into a
shoulder.
turnaround, just like in passing.
Okay.
But I realized this is an ability I have, that I can tell when people are Asian from behind.
Okay.
And I talked to my wife, and she was like, no, she can definitely tell when people are Asian from behind, too.
Okay.
But I wanted to know why. Because, if you can just see someone's hands, there's not a big difference in terms of skin color from an Asian or a white person or a lot of Latinos. Same goes for the hair.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. And I Google it and I can't find anything on it. So I decided to go to, there's a subreddit called, Explain to Me Like I'm Five.
Oh, I love that subreddit.
So I was like, this is the place.
Oh God, you posted on there. Oh
Yeah,
my God.
so I posted this on
You gotta
there.
send me this post. I gotta see it.
So before it goes live, it goes into moderation and the mods have to approve it.
Yes.
And it just came back to me with a downvote like, this is racist.
I mean, a little bit, dude.
I was like, bitch, I know. Just tell me why.
Why am I racist? How do I know this racist shit? That's so funny. Wow.
So,
Maybe it's be
listeners, if you know why you can tell someone's Asian from behind, just drop us a line. Let us know.
maybe it's because you have an Asian wife.
This is true.
So now you like, no, I don't know. I can't even come up with a reason that doesn't sound racist. I want out of this. I don't want to be in this conversation.
This is all Jason.
This is all Jason. Jason's wife, if you're listening, I don't approve.
She says that you need to check me more frequently on the show.
I do need to check you more. But you just make me laugh, so I don't check you. That's
I
why I
get
don't check you, because I'm like, this is funny.
checked enough in my real life. That's the reason I come on the pod,
Right.
to just let this shit, let the takes fly.
Right. Well, let the takes fly.
So welcome back, guys.
Welcome back. 1 week, less than a week. We are less than a week away from the end of the election. Not the beginning of voting, the end of voting.
Right, and if you plan on voting by mail, don't put your ballot in the mail now.
No, go drop it
Go
off.
drop it off.
That's what I did last week. I went to the early voting location and put it in the actual ballot drop off. So do that. So that's actually a good segue to our first topic, which is Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed on Monday night, and also a ruling was released Monday night as well that had a very controversial Kavanaugh footnote.
We knew this was going to happen with Kavanaugh. Honestly, anyone appointed by Trump should have to recuse themselves from any cases to do with the election, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So, do you know what the ruling was about?
I want to say, I don't remember which state. I think it's Wisconsin. But basically, what Kavanaugh is saying, yeah, it was definitely Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it was Wisconsin.
It was about whether or not votes can be counted, that is, mail-in ballots can be counted after Election Day.
After 8 p.m. on Election Day, whenever the polls close for that state, and in the footnotes of his opinion, he referenced. Okay, so this is a little bit confusing. He referenced an argument made by the Bush lawyers in the 2000
In
election,
Bush v. Gore.
which he was a part of. Bush v. Gore, which he was a part of,
You
those
know who else was
lawyers,
on that legal team?
where he, who?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Right. Wow. They groomed them. They groomed them. Anyways, he referenced an argument given by that team, which said, correct me if I'm wrong, something along the lines of states can't interpret their own election law that they have written themselves.
State Supreme Courts.
That only the Supreme Court. Now, in that case, apparently, that part of the argument was not endorsed, I think, but by only a couple of the Supreme Court judges. And on top of that, they told the lower courts to never use this ruling as precedent, ever. And so he is referencing a, I'm air quoting, a precedent in an argument that was told, they were told not to use, and that was not the actual legal basis for why the Supreme Court ruled in Bush v. Gore for Bush.
The ironic part is that in Bush v. Gore, the Republicans wanted to keep counting ballots.
Yes.
Because they believed those late-coming ballots would benefit them.
Yes. Kavanaugh himself actually made that argument that all the ballots should be counted. Now, should we explain a little bit for our listeners who might not remember what happened in Bush v. Gore? Do you remember?
I'm kind of old, so I kind of remember this.
I kind of remember, too. Do you want to do a little bit of explaining, and I'll jump in if I can... do they need to know it? I don't know if they need to know.
No, we don't really need to go backstory. Oh. You know what? There's a documentary on HBO. Some of you have your friends' HBO passwords. Not a documentary. It's actually a narrative. It has actors.
Okay.
Just, go watch this feature film. It's called Bush v. Gore. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this shit, but you might enjoy it.
Right. Also, I think The Daily did a day or two ago, maybe yesterday, I don't remember, a kind of summary of what happened in Bush v. Gore as well, if you don't remember. Anyways, the point being, he is laying the groundwork for Pittsburgh. He is laying the groundwork for Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Wisconsin. I'm not sure, is there any other states? For the ballots to stop being counted at 8 p.m. when the polls close.
To be clear, they're allowed to count the ballots as long as it takes to count them, but they can only count the ballots received before 8 p.m.
Right.
On election night.
Right. And so the issue is these states have, their legislatures have passed laws already that said, for instance, I think Pennsylvania was like, we can count ballots that are postmarked by election day but received 3 days after or something like that.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, the ballots can be received by Friday so long as they were postmarked by election day.
Right.
And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court upheld that.
Right. And then the regular Supreme Court actually upheld it too, but it was a 4-4 decision.
It was a deadlock, exactly.
And because Justice Roberts sided with the liberals on the court, that meant that that's the way the decision was. So, but now there's another case coming back up. It's just sort of the same case, I think, where they wanted to do a do-over, but now that Amy Coney Barrett is on the Supreme Court, they think, oh, this is how we're going to steal the election.
And the logic that Kavanaugh gave in his opinion makes absolutely no sense. He talks about overturning the results of the election and we don't want to see it flip-flop. But there is no such thing as the winner on election night.
Yes.
The votes don't have to be certified until a month later.
Not only that, what he's kind of blending for people who are not really understanding what he's saying is he's kind of saying what the media does, which is they have a projection.
Right.
He's saying once the media has projected, we can't change it. Which it's like the media is just projecting. They're not the ones counting or certifying.
Right, but it's all theater. Because it doesn't really matter what justification they give as long as they have the votes. But he's putting that out there for the general public. So the general public will say, well, that makes sense. I'm so used to knowing who wins by 7 p.m., by 9 p.m. Meanwhile, one-fifth of votes have been counted.
Right. Yeah, when they do their projections, sometimes it's only 5% of...
precincts are reporting.
Yeah, so it's come on. And they have changed their... even in the Bush v. Gore, I remember they called Florida for Gore, and then late into the night, like 1 a.m. or something, they flipped it and called it for Bush. And by then, Gore had already conceded. No, wait, they called it for Bush, and then they flipped it to Gore.
Yeah, no, Gore didn't actually concede until, I thought, like a week later.
No, he took it back.
Yeah.
He took it back. That's what he did. He conceded, and then he had to take it back, because he was like, wait a minute. So Amy Coney Barrett, this bitch is, how is someone so unethical now on basically the ethical judging court? Like, how is that possible?
I mean, she has been groomed for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, so for those of you who don't know this, Amy Coney Barrett, as we've expressed in the past, has been a judge for 3 years. She's been a federal judge appointed by Trump to a seat that should have been filled with an Obama nominee, but they wouldn't have, the Republicans wouldn't have a hearing.
Right. And I also, just for context, I was curious. So I looked up how long Sonia Sotomayor had been a judge before she was appointed. It was something like 17 or 18 or 19 years she had been a judge. And Amy Coney Barrett has been a judge for 3, and she's never tried a case.
That's what I was going to go to. She has literally never tried a case as a lawyer.
That just blows my mind.
I mean, Kavanaugh really has a very limited legal career prior to it being a judgeship, too. What happens is these people pass the bar, you know, they clerk for someone important,
mm-hmm.
and then they go into this right-wing Republican conservative legal sphere,
mm-hmm.
and they're groomed by the Federalist Society,
mm-hmm.
To take the bench. And that's what happened with Amy Coney Barrett. She has fulfilled the long goal of the Federalist Society, and she is going to be an activist from the bench.
Right. Here's what I'm curious about. So, I don't know if our listeners know the history of abortion. I'm going to try to summarize it really quickly, but it was not an issue for evangelicals. And I'm not even sure if it was an issue for Catholics until the 70s when conservative groups realized they could use this issue of abortion to get people to vote for them, to use the evangelical vote. So here's what I am curious about. This is something I've thought, maybe you've thought about this too, how they're going to continue to keep that fervor that they whip their base into over abortion up if they lose, if they lose that issue, if abortion effectively becomes illegal. And I thought about it, I thought, you know what, maybe they're going to say, they're going to be like, oh, states' rights. States can decide if it's illegal or not. That way they can still have abortion legal in some places and still use the issue to,
as a cudgel.
Yes, for their supporters.
So, yeah, there's a really good episode of Behind the Bastards, a podcast that we've referenced before,
mm-hmm.
that talks about how the modern pro-life movement started. And it was started by segregationists who could not actively push segregation.
Yes. I listened to, actually, Throughline, which talked about this, did this episode too. But yes, same thing.
Yeah, and actually, that's a big part of why it's a cause for white evangelicals, because they believe that abortion is limiting the white population,
mm-hmm.
and they need young white women to have as many children as possible.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because what I had read and heard is that they were trying to use segregation as a way to get evangelicals to vote, which before then they kind of were hands off with politics. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But they realized, like, they didn't really want to be so, you know,
overtly racist.
Overtly racist. Like, yes, they're racist, but evangelicals didn't want to be overtly racist. So they realized they could use abortion as a issue. And then I want to say till the mid 70s, like, the evangelicals, like, I don't know, church group. I don't know, what do you call them when it's like the leaders of the church?
Like the the Southern Baptist Convention or
yes.
whatever.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the Southern Baptist Convention.
It usually is.
They actually had not had a problem with abortion and had actually put it in writing in one of their like yearly things that, you know, they didn't have a problem with abortion. And then over a couple years, they realized, oh, no, we got to have a problem with abortion.
Yeah. So like this issue is a wedge issue, but it was created as a wedge issue. Now, that is not to say that there are some people who are deeply passionate
mm-hmm.
about being anti-abortion. People who legitimately believe in their heart of hearts that abortion is murder.
Sure.
Those people are a minority. The majority of this movement is about control.
Yes.
I actually have a friend who is like deeply, deeply Catholic. Like,
mm-hmm.
like his bachelor party had to be clean because his brother, the priest, was there.
Oh,
like that sort of Catholicism.
Was that fun?
It was. We rented a Wrigley rooftop. I went to Cubs game.
That's fine. Okay.
Either way, it was good, clean fun.
Okay.
Anyway, he believes in his heart of hearts that abortion is murder.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what he does? He doesn't vote.
Okay.
Because he is a decent enough human being to know you can't vote for the Republicans.
Right.
He literally abstains from the electoral process.
Here's the thing. The vast majority of people actually cared about that issue and actually said, I want to lower the amount of abortions, because let's be honest, abortion is never going to go away ever. No matter what, then they would actually vote for the Democratic ticket because Democratic policies lower the rate of abortion. That's just a fact. So you don't actually care about the issue of abortion or whether or not there's fewer abortions. So
abortion. Abortion. Also on the table.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court has added a case to its docket about a 15-month abortion law. And like this is going to, like they've been targeting Roe for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they have
15-month abortion law? What does that mean?
Sorry, 15-week abortion law.
I was like, what woman has a baby inside her for 15 months? Good God, abort that baby.
At that point, there should be some sort of intervention.
Right. 15 weeks, you know what? A lot of women don't even really know they're pregnant until they're 12, 13, 14 weeks.
Right, and you know what? The health problems don't go away after 15 weeks. Like, there's nothing magical after 15 weeks that makes the pregnancy safer for the mother to carry. You know what I mean? Like, if you have health issues, you have health issues.
Well, there's that, but I also think you can't even do the screening for the health issues for the baby until 16 weeks.
Right. Like, we're not going to litigate a woman's right to choose. Let's assume that we believe
yes, of course.
A woman has dominion over her body and the right to choose.
Of course, we do believe that.
But the Supreme Court is going to be reviewing another case.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on the docket. Like, we could lose Roe within a year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I think they're going to keep it for some, because I just can't imagine them losing this issue. I don't think they really want to lose this issue as a fundraising issue. Or making people passionate. I think that there's states that only have one abortion clinic. Those states will have zero abortion clinics. I know, it's so bad. I mean, this is just, I mean, what can you say except that they cheat, they are vile, they have no morals, they are just whatever it takes to win.
Did you hear about the Michigan court ruling that says, no, it's absolutely okay to carry your weapons to polling places?
I saw that, and that is terrifying. Just imagine somebody in line with you has a gun. I would be like, what the fuck?
And yeah, and there's a law that says, you know, they can't come within, you know, I don't know, 50 feet, 150 feet of the polling place. But with COVID, these lines will extend more than 50 or 150 feet outside. They can intimidate people, and they plan on intimidating people on the lines.
That's bad. That's so bad. I don't, what do we say? I mean, and then what do they just stand outside for the line? They just stand there. They don't actually move in the line. They just stand out there with their guns.
They'll probably pace back and forth. Yeah.
That's really scary. These people are scary people. What do we do? I don't know.
We don't show up to the polls with guns. I'm gonna show up at the polls.
You are, but you already voted.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna go out there and just be a poll guardian.
Okay, what's that mean?
So make sure like no one's being harassed. I'll bring people like coffee, donuts, stuff like that.
Oh, you're gonna do that? That's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, good for you, Jason.
Yeah, I'm a big body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. You're tall. What are you, 6'10"? Just kidding. No, you're 13. Like, right, 6'13". Right. Yeah, dude. I mean, it's, you know, they rammed her nomination through. There was really no debate about it. The Democrats with their, we're going to use every quiver in our...
Every arrow in our quiver?
Yeah, that's... I always mess up sayings.
I've never heard that expression. Is that a thing?
Yeah, Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. Don't say that expression anymore. If you've ever said that expression, don't say that.
Well, they didn't. They didn't do shit. Like, we talked about how they can force a vote on any legislation. Why didn't they use that?
Yeah, no, they should have taken one of those House relief bills and made the Republicans vote against it.
Force it. They did nothing. They're just a bunch of fucking cowards.
Did you see Mitch McConnell patting himself on the back the other day? He was like, when Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed, he said, you know, not a lot of men in history have made the political impact that I made with this one. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah. He also said something along the lines of, I'm guessing he's saying this, assuming the Republicans lose, that a lot of what they've done can be undone, but not this.
This is true.
They're not going to be able to undo this. Except, you know what? If the Democrats get a backbone and pack the court,
There's three ifs there. I mean, first you got to take the White House, then they have to retake the Senate, and that's the possibility that no one is talking about, that Biden can be elected and still not control the Senate.
Yeah, a lot of Twitter chatter is, you know, working on the assumption that the Senate is the Democrats. It's not a given, guys. I know that there's like four races that are like up. You got Kelly Loeffler, right? Her race.
Yeah, you've got
McSally. You've got Lindsey Graham, possibly. Wow. Oh, bye, Lindsey. And then,
yo, have you seen? You sent me that picture. Lindsey Graham's hands. What?
No. That was Mitch McConnell's hands.
What? That was Mitch.
That was Mitch McConnell.
What?
Apparently, he's on blood thinners. But why is he on blood thinners? That's the question. I don't know. His hands. For our listeners who don't know, just Google it. There's some pictures of Mitch just bruised AF. His hands are completely purple. He's got bruises on his face.
They look dead. His hands look dead.
He looks like he's decomposing. So, not. I mean, he is like an undead, if you ask me. He's dead, soulless, dead eyes. Anyways, who else? And also, what's her name in Maine? I can never remember her name, and I hate her so much. Who's always concerned? She's always concerned.
Yeah, it's Collins.
Susan Collins. So those are like the four races where, you know, there's a chance, but they'd have to win all four. And who knows?
And not lose any.
And not lose any seats. So that's where we're at on that.
Well, could you imagine a scenario where Biden gets the presidency and then Stephen Breyer dies and they don't let him fill that seat?
Watch him die with 4 years left in Biden's presidency, and they'll be like, sorry, too close to the election. Fuck that. Pack that court. Oh, God, I hate the Republicans.
6-2 on the bench.
Oh, jeez. That's awful. Wow, those poor, lonely liberal votes. I guess that's really kind of... Do you have anything else to say about Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh? I mean, they're exactly who we think they are.
Yeah, and Kavanaugh might actually have been worse than we thought he was.
Yeah, because I think, from what I'd read, he'd kind of been a bit centrist in some... rulings that have been put out, like LGBTQ rulings and something else he was a little centrist about. I can't remember. So people are like, go ahead.
I think he's repaying his debts now.
Yeah, he is. He's absolutely getting his vengeance for his so tough grilling.
I was meant paying back the people who paid off his debts.
True.
Like an actual bribe.
Well, who actually paid his baseball debts? That's what I want to know.
We don't know who paid his baseball debts, his credit card debts. Didn't he have like $250 in debts supposedly from the baseball tickets?
A lot. Who paid that? We don't know. Who does Trump owe $450 million to personally? We don't know.
Oh, did you read there was a new article showing how he defaulted on like $270 million worth of loans with Deutsche Bank since 2010?
And they still loaned to him?
Not only that, they forgave the debt. The debts were on the Trump Tower in Chicago. They did not foreclose on it. They decided to just let him keep it, forgave the debt. And there was another debt where he owed about $70 million where one division of Deutsche Bank loaned him the money to pay off the other division of Deutsche Bank.
That's insane. What is going on there?
There's so much corruption.
So much. What?
Well, if he loses, he's going to jail. On a lighter note.
Is it really, though? It's pretty damn bleak.
It's funny to me.
I mean, you cannot write a more on-the-nose metaphor, but please proceed.
So the Trump campaign had a rally last night in Omaha, was it?
Yep.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And the venue was not accessible for parking.
Oh, let's explain to what our listeners how his rallies go. He flies in and has the rally at the airport, so all he has to do is exit his plane straight to the dais, give his little stupid speech. Then he gets back on his plane and flies away. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He doesn't have to get in a car. That's all he does. So all his rallies are at airports. Please continue.
Right. So since the people couldn't park, they established a remote parking lot about 3.5 to 4 miles away from the airport,
mm-hmm.
and shuttled the Trumpsters to the venue.
That word sounds like dumpsters. I never realized it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. But last night, I don't know if they forgot or simply didn't give a shit, but they did not arrange for return transportation.
They did not.
Which meant that these Trump supporters, many of them elderly, had to walk 3.5 or 4 miles back to their cars in 32-degree temperatures.
Even lower than that. I read it was 30 because it was below freezing.
Yeah, several of the attendees had to be hospitalized for hypothermia.
Is there a more apt metaphor? It's so on the nose. Like, if you wrote it, people would be like, this is too on the nose. But he flies in, does his stupid speech where he's like, look at me and look how great I am. Then he leaves and everybody's fucked. I mean, that's just...
You ever go to a party, like, in high school or college, and then your ride leaves, and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now?
Yes. Especially back then, because there was no Uber or Lyft.
Right.
And you also couldn't just look up a cab company on your phone, because you didn't have a phone!
So, like, that, except with 500 people.
That's
even if you could Uber,
that.
There's...
It's like thousands. Wait.
Was it thousands?
That's what it's... I mean, that's what... Oh, you're probably right. It's 500.
You never know what the count is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Please go.
And, of course, the attendees are defending Trump. Wasn't his fault. They've even alleged that the bus company is run by Democrats who did this out of spite.
I mean, I saw somebody took a picture at a Trump rally of a woman whose back was to them, and she had on a T-shirt, and they took a picture of her T-shirt, and it was like... written in marker on her T-shirt, COVID killed my son, and I'm still voting for Trump. I mean, what kind of psychopath do you have to be?
I mean, maybe the kid was an asshole.
Maybe she's an asshole. Maybe they're all assholes. I don't know.
Gotta hear both sides.
Okay, well, the one kid's dead, so we can't. Can't hear his side. We just know his mother is an asshole. What?
Yeah, like, even if you felt that way, why would you share that? How does that make you look? These people have no self-awareness.
Zero. And all they care about is themselves. That's all they care about is themselves. Their they have a death drive. They really, really do. It's a death cult, and they have a death drive.
Well, they have the perfect leader for that.
They sure do.
3.5 miles in the free...
You're a 70-year-old, 80-year-old man and woman. Apparently were so cold they couldn't even move.
And you know, like, they were cold to begin with because they were outside watching Trump in the cold.
How long have they been there in the cold?
Oh, can we talk about the musical choices at these rallies?
I don't know. Yes, but doesn't he usually get told stop?
Yeah, he's gotten so many cease and desists. He's gotten cease and desist from Phil Collins, a couple from John Fogerty. And again, last night, he played Creedence Clearwater Revival's Fortunate Son.
It's so bizarre. Does no one listen to the words of the song?
It is literally about men like Trump.
It's bizarre.
The false patriotism, the sending other people off to the war and dying while you get deferments because you're rich, that is every line of that song is about Donald J. Trump.
It is, but I think whoever does the picking, probably Trump, just hears Fortunate Son. They just hear the chorus and they go, yeah, that's me. Let's play that song.
But like the GOP has a tradition of doing this. Mm-hmm. Reagan campaigned on Born in the USA.
Yes, and that was...
Which is a protest song, yes. Not a patriotic song, and Springsteen issued a cease and desist.
Yes.
Who was it that campaigned on John Cougar Mellencamp's Pink Houses?
I don't know.
I think it might have been Romney, and there was a cease and desist on that. Oh, I think it was W.
No self-awareness, these people.
And again, all these songs are protest songs. It's about how the government leaves the common man behind.
I mean, it's so funny when... I can't remember what happened, but the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine had to, like, it was like earlier this summer, had to make a statement, like, because all these, like, conservatives and Republicans were, like, pissed off at him for something and were like, we're never listening to your music again or some stupid shit like that. And he's just like, were you actually listening to it before? I'm talking about you and people like you.
Yeah, it was like, when did Rage Against the Machine turn political?
Yeah.
And Tom Morello was like, have you? And it was not actually the lead singer. It was the guitarist.
No, that's what it is. Yeah, Tom Morello. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's like, who do you think they're, what machine do you think they're raging against?
It's no self-awareness. I remember reading once on Twitter, someone I think, some country in the global south, I forgot where they were, but it's like, it amazes me that Americans watch Star Wars and think they're the rebels.
Oh, yeah, I think I said that to you.
It's like, you guys are the Empire.
Yeah, we're the Empire. We're not the rebels. Yeah, that's, I feel like that's, oh, man. Anyways, do you have an asshole of the week?
You know, I don't have one this week.
Me either. You know who's the asshole of the week? You, if you don't vote. How about that? Listener, if you don't go vote, you're the asshole of the week.
Unless, of course, you voted or you are disenfranchised.
That too.
In which case, we're sorry.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Well, next week's episode, going to be a nail biter, I guess.
Oh, man. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll see you next time. Also, follow us on all the things. Thank you for our music to Kevin MacLeod. Got it in there before you could.
God damn it.
And until next week.
See you then.